Thank you, Mike. Thank you.
All right, we have an agenda before us. We will be abiding by the University Interscholastic League Constitution and Contest Rules. Do I have a motion to approve the minutes from February 12th of 2020, our last meeting?
I'll make that motion.
Johanna makes that motion. Do I hear a second? Darian makes that motion. Second. Thank you. All in favor, please raise your right hand. It is unanimous. All right. Orientation and discussion of SEC procedures. Again, that's typically taken care of by staff. Daryl, are you going to talk to us a little bit?
I think that's one for Jamie and Doc.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what let's do. If y'all don't have anything specific, let's talk a little bit about things, kind of reiterate some of the things we talked about this morning, so that, especially for the new folks, and by the way, let's do this. During this time of orientation and discussion, let's each introduce themselves, because we do have some new folks that are going to be great additions to our team here, our committee. I'm Mike Motherl. I've was in education for 37 years, 18 of that as a superintendent. I work for a company now called Germblast. We've been very busy recently. I've been on this committee. This is year 20, and this will be year 19 as the chair. So I love this committee. I love what it stands for. I love UIL, and I like the opportunity that we have to be of assistance to schools. Paul?
I'm Paul Galvan. I'm a retired administrator of Fort Worth Independent School District. I've served on this committee for a long time, probably around 28, 29 years, and have loved every minute of it and feel honored to be a part of such a distinguished group of superintendents and people in other facets of education. And always look forward to seeing all of you at our meetings.
Johanna?
Hi, I'm Johanna Denson. I'm a retired athletic administrator. I retired after 38 years in education. I was an athletic administrator for three different school districts. That would be Tyler, Waco, and last but not least, Pflugerville. I am now doing some consulting for athletic directors, and I wish them all well, like superintendents. It's a very difficult and challenging time for them. So I get lots of phone calls, needless to say.
Darian, who is doing a little vacationing in Florida right now, but has graciously joined us. Talk to us a little bit, Darian.
My name is Darian Dover. I've been in education. I believe I finished my 27th year, beginning my ninth year as a superintendent at Meadow ISD. Been a part of this committee now going on probably about 6 to 7 years. Very, very honored to be a part of this committee with so many great people. And I'm also a very strong supporter of UIL and everything it stands for.
James?
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is James Colbert. I'm the superintendent of Harris County Department of Education. Been a superintendent going on 11 years. I've been on the UIL committee for 10 years. Still waiting to get my stipend. Haven't gotten that yet. You know, every year I'm trying to raise that. I think this is probably one of the best committees in the state to be on. It has a direct impact towards students, specifically student athletes. And now I think not only do we advocate for our athletes on this committee, but we advocate for the state of Texas, and that's been tested several times. This is a difficult committee to be on at times, because we don't make always popular decisions, but I feel like we always make the right decision. So happy to be back on the committee. Good to see everybody.
Thank you, James. Gary?
Gary Martell. I'm the superintendent at Moody ISD. I'm in my 34th year in education. Been on this committee 4 years now, I think. And before that, I served on the waiver review committee for 2 or 3. They're kind of running together now. So I've been on two pretty tough committees. happy to be here working with this group. And as James said, tough decisions, and feel like we're making decisions that keep the UIL the wonderful thing that it is, and also help our students in the state. So just glad to be back and glad to see everybody.
Daryl?
Good afternoon, everyone. Daryl Wade, a retired athletic administrator in Houston. Been retired 10 years, believe it or not. Been working with this committee, I guess, around 11 years. Like James said, it's one of the best committees I've ever been a part of. I enjoy being a part of it. Looking forward to continuing. Now I work with the Houston Astros. Trying to play baseball. Hopefully we'll keep going.
Thank you, Daryl. Dr. Teal.
All right. My name's Glenn Teal, and I'm the current superintendent in the GymNed CISD. It sits just below Abilene, just past Wiley, and we're a growing school district. kind of an exciting time for this area as we grow. I've been in the superintendent world for about 7 years now. Prior to this stint, I've just been here a year. I served in Abernathy ISD, which was I started as a 2A, but in the elevation of the class ranks, became 3A. And I was there 4 years. Prior to that, I served in Andrews ISD as assistant soup. And then prior to that, I was in the Lubbock ISD for about 14 years, serving as a principal at all different levels. So most of my career has been in school leadership, 24 years out of my 28 years of service. And I'm new to the committee, as you guys know. And no matter what Gary Martell says, I'm honored to be with you guys. Look forward to meeting you in person.
Thank you, Glenn. Dr. Scott.
Good afternoon. I'm Marshall Scott, superintendent, Bay City ISD. This is my fourth year starting in Bay City. I've been in education for 23 years, and I'm the veteran on this group. This is starting my second year. So happy to be here. Lovely group to work with. And also look forward to seeing you all in person.
Thank you, Marshall. All right, Carla.
Well, good afternoon. I'm Carla Vogel. I'm the superintendent in Dickinson ISD. This is my third year as superintendent, my 41st year in education, and I am just delighted to be a new member of this committee and look forward to working with each of you.
Thank you, Carla. Welcome. Jody?
Hello, everyone. Jody Duran, proud superintendent of Elgin ISD, starting my ninth year as superintendent in the district. 30th year. I'm starting my 30th year in education, and this is my third year on this committee, and I just truly appreciate the opportunity to be a part of this. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Duran. Appreciate you. And as I said earlier, I think Dr. Curtis Colwell is not with us right now, but he's been on the committee now for, I think this is probably third year, and former superintendent at Garland and works now with the Texas School Alliance, I believe is his role. I think the last thing that I'll say before we start moving into the agenda, and if anybody else has anything, great. You know, in the past, Caroline, we didn't talk about this, but in the past, we've not had everybody at every meeting because of travel. We've taken, and we'll have four or five people here at a time. So when we get back to a normal setting, that will be the way it will be. I don't know whether we'll invite everybody to the to these type meetings or not. That'll be a decision, I'm sure, that may already been made. But anyway, just so you know, don't expect to be called for every meeting. We meet approximately once a month, sometimes a little more often than that, depends on who's fighting and who's clearing the benches and those kinds of things, unfortunately. But I think I mentioned earlier today that the majority of what we do has to do with changing schools for athletic purposes. And that is a very, very important rule that this UIL has that is unique to many states. We're one that is very adamant about it, and it's very important. And so the full-time coach rule is another one that we dealt with a little bit last year. That's a full-time employee as a coach. And then obviously we're going to see some coaches ejections like today, and we'll have one or two of those on occasions. And anything else that you can think of, that's pretty much the gamut of what we do, the vast majority of it. Any comment or question at this time before we move into the actual hearings?
Yeah, I would like to say something, and it's on behalf of UIL, because I know that I'm looking at all you guys, and you guys give your time to UIL. I know everyone has a busy schedule, your superintendents, and we're very proud of this committee because we have representation, you know, across the board, that when someone walks into our, you know, our meeting room, that they're going to get a fair shake, and they've always gotten a fair shake. But this crew, I've known a bunch of you for a long time, and I know your schedules are busy. Right now, I know that you're looking at athletics and COVID and everything else, and you're taking time out today not only to get a little bit of training, but also helping us with these decisions. And as you know, you guys have some tough decisions, and I'm glad I don't have to sit in your chair. I know that I've watched it at a distance, and now I'm part of it, and you get it right every time. And that's the way it's supposed to work. If the local district doesn't, you know, does what they do and come to us, and it's like some of the parents say, hey, I didn't get a chance to speak at the DEC. Well, when you appeal to us, you got that opportunity to speak. Whatever the DEC did is what they did. It has no bearing. Oh, well, it does have bearing with coaches' ejections and testimony, but you guys do a great job. And on behalf of UIL, we just want to say we appreciate you guys taking time out to represent not only schools, but the school district. So thank you, guys.
Thank you, Daryl. Paul, you had something to say? Unmute.
Just hold the space bar down.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes, sir.
Okay, you know, and while you're going through this, and a lot of our meetings that we had in the past, where we've had, like today with our two cases having to deal with ejections, is it going to be that I know that we invite TASO to have a representation at the meetings that we have live? Have they been involved in this Zoom meeting to be able to visit with us on certain things? Do you know?
Yes. Caroline, explain where they're sitting right now.
Yes, Mike Fitch is in the waiting room for this meeting, and if the committee would like to talk to him about either of the coach ejection cases that we have today, we can let him into the meeting and you can ask your questions.
Okay, very good. Thanks.
Thank you, Paul. All right. Well, we've talked about this committee probably enough. It's a good one, and we talked about the fact that we don't always have to agree, but we're gonna take a vote at the end of things, and we're gonna walk out of here together, whatever happens. And so, with that having been said, it is time to move forward, and we're gonna do that. How do we, Caroline? Do we need the folks on board before I start talking about hearing AA?
Yes, I will go ahead and admit. Who we have in the waiting room.
All right, very good. All right, we're gonna be.
I think we are still waiting on the coach.
Okay. I see two folks.
Yes. I think I saw Coach Cox log in earlier, but I don't have him here right now.
Okay.
Let's see if we can get him on.
Mighty good.
Let's see, if either of the school representatives has a phone number for Coach Cox, if you could check in with him. I don't seem to have a phone number for him.
And I spoke with him about probably 30 minutes ago, and he knows he's ready to go, so let me call him here.
I text him. He says he's logged in. Let me call. Are you calling, Scott?
Oh, here he is. He just arrived in the meeting room, so we will. Perfect. Great.
All right. We're going to move forward then here with hearing AA, A-Leaf High, Elsick High School, Section 1208I1, ejection from a contest, Vincenzo Cox. Mr. Beasley?
Coach Vincenzo Cox was ejected from varsity soccer game on February 5th, 2020 at Elsick High School. Cox is appealing the ejection on February 5th of 2020.
All right. Thank you, sir. Need to ask that Ms. Lewis, Mr. Is it Malig? Is that how that's pronounced?
And Malig, sir.
Malig. Sorry about that.
No problem.
And Mr. Cox, if you will raise your right hand, Caroline is going to swear you in. The appropriate response will be, I do.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you will present is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
All right. Have y'all got a roar?
Yes.
Okay. There we go. Okay, let's talk about how this process is going to go. What we're going to do is verify some facts from you folks, allowing you to respond to some of those and say anything then at a point where maybe we've missed some things. And then should we need to talk to anybody else, officials, organization, or anything like that, we have them standing by. So just so you know, that's what's going to happen. Let me start with a few facts based on something that came from Mr. Tones. Is that correct? Is Mr. Tones the associate principal?
Yes, he is.
Okay, thank you. According to his documentation, which was the most complete that we got, several calls not made on both sides. The Pearland player got a yellow card for going after an Elsick player, and then the same player later, after committing several other fouls, stood over and kicked the ball when the Elsick player had a free kick. For your information, we have had access, and I'm sure everyone in here has probably watched the videos, okay? So you'll know that. There was no penalty given. Coach Cox tried to question the referee as to why he didn't make the call, and he was ignored. And Coach, I believe you, according to this principal, your response was, I know you heard me. Then you went back to your seat, to your place there. And a few minutes later, play stopped. Referee came over and and said to Coach, if you say anything else, you're going to get a yellow card. That sound about right, Coach Cox? You're going to have to unmute. Okay. Thank you. And then you were just told by the official not to say anything. And then what did you do? You said, Coach, you asked for an explanation, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And referee gave you a yellow card. You ask again. And the official said, hey, I'm going to give you a red card if this continues. And you said, we're questioning a call. And then you got your red card. Does that pretty much say is your associate principal pretty accurate in his description?
Yes, sir.
Okay, very good. Now, as I look at some of the other things here, well, let's just move forward a little bit here. And I think the point I want to make to you as we're getting started is very simply, each time you got a card, you were given a warning. Whether it was warranted or whether even the discussion of potentially getting a card was warranted, you were warned each time. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah, because that's what your associate principal said, and you agreed that that was the case. All right? Now, before we let you discuss some things, Mr. Cox, I'm going to ask Mr. Molig to say the things that he wants to say. And Mr. Tones, you didn't get sworn in a while ago, so if you're going to be part of this, I need you to raise your right hand. And I notice you showed up here. Caroline's going to swear you in the appropriate responses I do, and you'll need to unmute to say that.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you will present is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Mr. Tones, thank you for being present at our meeting. And we just went through your information that you provided. We really appreciate the info. And Coach Cox agreed that that's what happened. He didn't disagree with anything that you had to say. So I'm going to go to Mr. Molig. And what is your role here today, and what do you have to tell us?
Yes, sir. I'm the athletic director, and I'm here just in case you had a question for me. I was not present at the game. We have 3 6A high schools, and tell you the truth on that, Eden, not very sure where I was at. We also have track. You know, we have several sports, but I was not a witness to the event. If there was something to come back to me about past history of Coach Cox or his character, kind of here for that if you need to know any, you know, maybe as a character witness.
Have you ever had any issues with him?
No, sir. Okay. No, I don't believe – I've been in A-League for 8 years, and I believe this is the first time that Coach Cox has been ejected, to the best of my knowledge.
All right. Anybody else for Mr. Molig? All right. Ms. Lewis, what is your role, please, ma'am?
Hi, I'm an assistant athletic director in A-Leaf, and I do work closely with Coach Cox as well, and echo everything that Coach Molig indicated to you guys with regards to character and things of that nature.
You were not at the game?
No, I was not at the game.
Okay, very good. Mr. Cox.
Yes, sir.
What do you have to say for yourself today?
First, I love UIL. It's definitely helped my career as a teacher and as a coach. And in this particular incident, while we're out here, just to get right into it, there were 9 calls for Pearland in that game. 6 were for this player, and the statement for this particular official, it doesn't represent the entire game. Mr. Tones can attest, and he's with me every single game. I had not said one word the entire game, and his yellow cards were in a matter of 17 seconds. If you were to look at the video, and my reasoning for approaching the ref on the card was, if you look back at the video where I cut the fouls for that player, and this player, Carolina had 9 fouls. This player had 6. And the fouls that this player were making were very, very, very dangerous. I had not said one word the entire game. Like, you can look over, if you've seen the video, I had not said one word. He said I questioned all of his calls. I didn't question any call until that particular one, and that was late into the second half. And so for him to say I questioned all of his calls, that's not accurate on that statement, and I stand by that word. But when it became to where he was letting one player run around and making dangerous fouls and then being allowed to put players in position where kids can get hurt, that was when I objected. And he allowed the Pearland coach, I mean, if you look at the video, he allowed a dialogue for him, an explanation with him. And so his final foul that this kid committed before I was ejected, the kid was allowed to stand in front of the ball. And, you know, it would be the equivalent if someone had a no-huddle offense and the nose guard from another team with 5 seconds left just picked up the ball so that they couldn't spike it to stop the clock, and he just picked the ball up and threw it away. And all I did was ask, was he supposed to get – that's – if any official would tell you in high school soccer, that's an automatic yellow card. And when he didn't give the card, you know, the kid was allowed to foul and then allowed to stop the play of us. When he didn't give the call, that's when I asked. And so when he didn't respond to me, I left it alone. And I let the video play to show that. And once I left it alone, he came over to me. And when he came over to me, I asked him about the call. And that's where everything went in 17 seconds. And Mr. Tomes was right there with me. My assistants were asking about this one player, and he only came at me. I would like to also add that if you look at the most dangerous foul that that occurred, his assistant linesman signaled this right here. If you look at the when he fouled my player Bryant, his assistant lineman saw how dangerous the foul was. He signaled this. And if you look back at the video, what that means is the linesman is telling his center ref, that's a card. You need to give a yellow card for that. And so when that didn't happen, this kid kept going on and on. I stayed quiet the entire game. I only asked about one call, and that call led us to this right here. Immediately that night after the card, I contacted my signer, Amin, and I asked him about the call. And I called him. He didn't answer my call. I included the screenshots inside the message. And when I included those in, the next morning, right after I completed teaching my classes, I went right over to the athletic department with the video to my assistant athletic director, Marla Lewis, and then Coach Molda came in at the latter of that meeting. And so I asked her, had she heard anything from Amin Tahari, who was our signer? She said he hadn't heard anything. He told me by text that you saw that if he heard anything from the report, if there was a report, that he would let me know. And I asked Marla, was I supposed to sit out a suspension the next game? She said she hadn't heard a report. 36 days went by. I never heard from Amin again. And I didn't hear from him. I didn't hear anything about this incident until March the 14th, when I received a letter, I believe from an email from Mr. Beasley. And once I received that letter, I asked about the procedures for when it should go. And I have some other thoughts on that, but I don't know if I should say any more right now.
All right. Any questions for Coach Cox? Mr. Colbert?
I've got a couple of clarifying statements, and then I have a few questions. First, Coach Cox, I'd just like to state that this committee is not here to determine whether there were any right or wrong calls. To be honest with you, I don't know the rules of soccer, so I wouldn't know if they should have pulled the card or not. So we're not here to really look at any calls. We're here mostly to talk about your actions with and interactions with the ref and whether it was an appropriate ejection or not. And when looking at that, it's important to look at it with content versus context. And so it may not have been anything that you said, but the context by which you said it. Some examples of context would be volume, body language, tone, and insubordinates, meaning that if a ref directs you to do something, then you should comply with that and take up your argument with that ref after the game, not during the game in the presence of children. My first question to you is, how would you rate the volume and your tone and posture that you had with the ref?
Initially, because of the distance, and if you can also hear the wind in the video, initially I raised my volume, but only so that he could hear me from where he was going. And as you can see, he kind of didn't hear it first, and then he kind of delayed and turned because he could not hear me. So that's why I raised my volume. As he approached, I don't think I was aggressive or disrespectful in any nature. And Mr. Tones is here to attest that. I have two administrators in duty up there with me right side by side in all our videos. So,
Coach, hold on. So I watched the video, and I appreciate you providing that for us. And
yes, sir.
It seemed from me, I couldn't hear what you were saying, but it was visible that you were upset. Were you not upset with the ref?
No, I wasn't not, I don't want to say upset, but I was concerned about the safety of the kids, because if you looked at the video and you saw the fouls that kid was allowed to make over a game, eventually you're going to exasperate kids. And at that point, you know, we do have parents who are, who are wanting me to say something, and I hadn't said anything the entire game. My coaches were like, Coach, you need to say something. And I said, no, let's see what he's going to do. And so at that point, when it becomes a safety issue, I don't want any parents coming out of stands, but at that point I'm the parent for those kids. And so when it becomes a safety issue, that's where I want to speak out on behalf of.
So my question is, when he got within distance of you and you engaged in the conversation with the ref, was your volume elevated? Were you agitated when you had that conversation with the ref?
It was not. All I did was ask about the call and the card. There was nothing disrespectful. My volume was at the right tone. If it was, I am pretty sure this ref would have included that in his report.
Well, at one part of the video, towards the end, I think it was 3:29 into the video, it looked like one of your assistant coaches got between you and the ref. You moved to the left side. Either you went behind your assistant coach or he got in the middle. Do you remember that?
I do. Yes, I do.
What was that?
That I think if you look at my assistant's body language, he was asking about the same call. He was not, by any means, there was no way that he had to like step in between us because there's no need to question me. There's no need to question anything like that. He didn't have to step in between. He stepped over because he wanted to ask about the same call. And Mr. Tones can attest to that.
Okay. And my final question is, based on what you said, that you weren't using the inappropriate language, your volume wasn't elevated, you had appropriate body language. If all that's true, and some of that can be argued just by the video that I witnessed, then why would the ref give you a red card and eject you from the game? No, let's be clear. You didn't say anything. You didn't have body language. You didn't have a tone. Why in the world would the ref eject you from a game, man?
Based on consistency of how he managed interactions with the other coach, I just think that he probably wasn't.
It just seems odd is what I'm saying. That's all I have, Chair. Thank you.
Mr. Galvan.
Yes, Mr. Marlowe. Let me ask you, Coach Cox. I myself, like Mr. Colbert, watched the whole video. Kind of reminded me back when I was active going to soccer games and being the only one in the stands in the cold, except I watched this in the office here. So it was nice watching a soccer game without getting cold. But also on that video, as Mr. Colbert said, we're not here to discuss whether or not the fouls were, they had nine and you had six or whatever. But the main thing that I want to ask you, and also Mr. Tones, because his letter it pretty well indicates that there were calls missed on both sides. And we never try to make, never go in an athletic contest where you're going to have the same amount of fouls on both teams. But in my writing down in the times that I watched the video, at 51.40 is when you really began up, you got upset when number 14 from the other team stood in front of your player. And that's when you kind of got a little hurry toward the sideline and started making comments to the referee, and he continued on in the middle of the field. Also, when you got ejected, and I can say this, and I'm going to ask Mr. Tone, because what I saw is that you're standing there on the sideline talking to one of your coaches when the official comes walking over toward the sideline to where you're standing. Then there's conversation between you and that official. Now, my comment to Mr. Tones, if you'll answer this question, what was the sound of his voice? Because Mr. Colbert's already indicated about the tone and so forth of this nature, which some of our coaches get a little overheated. What kind of tone was Coach Cox when the official came over to him? Now, your coach did not go to the official. The official came to him on the sideline the first time. So what kind of tone did Coach Cox have when the official came and approached him on the sideline?
Well, I believe the official came because, like Coach Cox said, he was loud trying to get the ref's attention. When the ref came over and he just said, I just want to know what the call was. You know, it was a hurried tone. You know, you're in the heat of the game. I don't think it was mean toward or being vindictive towards the referee. It was kind of a, what's up with the call? There should have been a call there, you know, just not mad or angry, just hurried about trying to figure out what's going on.
And that's when the yellow card came.
Yes, sir.
And then that's when the official turned around, started back toward the field, and then turned around again and came back holding up the red card. Is that the way you saw it?
Yes, sir.
Since you were there?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Let me interject one thing here, because each time the card was given, the one thing that's very important to me, and I think should be to this group, is there was a warning that preceded it. Mr. Tones, based on your letter, that's exactly what happened.
Yes, sir.
So he was warned. He was given a warning before the yellow. He was given a warning before the red. Correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Very important piece of information.
That's why I wanted to hear from Mr. Tones exactly what happened, because Mr. Colbert had a good thought about, you know, there's a way that you can just holler and talk to people, especially officials. And so you answered my question on that. Thank you, Mr. Tones. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Do we have any questions from anyone else? Dr. Duran?
I have one comment or an observation, and then also maybe two clarifying questions. One, I found it interesting that the Pearland head coach submitted a letter also indicating that he felt like the ejection was harsh, and he's not here to ask the question about you know, his observation about that. But I just found that interesting, and that the opposing head coach felt that it was out of the ordinary for a red card. And then I guess the two clarifying questions I have, one, the text messages, is there a timeline by which the head coach should have known that the ejection had been filed, there was a within 24 hours? Is there a timeline within 24 hours? We hear that he did not even know that it was formalized in writing until March 14th. And I'm just curious if there is an expectation for the referees to communicate to the head coach back. That's for my own personal understanding of the situation. The second clarification I need is from the associate principal. He indicated in his letter that it was his understanding that a red card would not be turned in. And I just would like more information about where that information came from and why you wrote that in your letter.
Okay. Yes, after speaking with the assistant coaches after the game, they said that they had spoken to one of the assistant referees who told them that that was not going to be turned in. That's what that was information they gave me when I spoke with the coaches after the game.
Mr. Beasley, would you comment on both the turning in of those red cards and also the other question that Dr. Duran had asked about the time frame?
Yeah, the normal response on any coach's ejection is usually 48 hours. This one took a little bit longer than normal as far as reporting the coach's ejection, like the coach said. I don't know why the official held to it so long, but normally it's a 48-hour turnaround.
What about the discussion of whether a red card is going to be turned in at all or not that was had? Mr. Tones talked about the other officials had told at least some of the coaches that it wasn't going to be turned in. What is the rule on that?
As far as UIL is concerned, if they end up getting a red card, that is an ejection. You can't sit there and retract that. And if they feel like they made a mistake, they can talk to the coach, they can talk to the school district, but ultimately they need to talk to our office about it if they want to retract anything and give an explanation. But a red card is a coach's ejection.
Okay. Any other comment or question at this time? Yes, Ms. Denson. Ms. Denson and then Ms. Lewis. Oh.
Muted. There you go. Thank you. The question I have is for Ms. Lewis and Mr. Molek, whoever they report to whenever there is an ejection. Did Coach Cox report his ejection immediately following the game, or did he report it the next day? Because there's some confusion because it was not turned in an appropriate time manner or a length of time, which is noted as 48 hours. So were you notified the next day by Coach Cox, Ms. Lewis?
Yes, I was notified that the following morning about the ejection. And like he indicated earlier, I too reached out to the officials' organization so I could get some documentation so that I could have a more well-rounded picture with regards to what happened and how to further handle the situation.
Okay, and that's your protocols to report. I know it's a UIL protocol to report immediately.
Yes. Okay.
Thank you.
Yes, they're in our district, they're to report any issues by 10 a.m. the next day, and he did do that.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Lewis.
All right. Anything else?
Mr. Chair, I just want to clarify on the ejection. I kind of talked about the official reporting, but the schools have to report also. Anytime there's an ejection, they have 48 hours to get it to me, and you know the official took a long time, but the school didn't give me a report on it either.
I have a question, Coach. Have you sat out a game yet?
No, sir. Because we asked, we talked with Marla Lewis, and we asked, and we tried to find out to see if I was supposed to sit out the next game, and so the assigner said, you know, if, you know, Miss Lewis said that she hadn't heard anything back. She reached out to the assigner, said we hadn't heard anything back. And so I was looking to see what to do the next game. And I was trying to be proactive and see what needed to be done. And I know this, that I know Mr. Colbert asked me, you know, why does he think, you know, it may be, but I was uncomfortable that knowing that right around March and none of us knowing that COVID would happen, I was uncomfortable knowing that the red card report had been held to March 14th, which would put me at a time where, you know, should I serve a suspension, I would unknowingly be prepared to have to serve a suspension right around the playoff time. And because our season was pretty much had come to an end. And that's why I tried to be proactive and see what could be done and who I needed to talk to. And I immediately called the assigner. I called the assigner that night when I got home from the game. And so Ms. Lewis, I didn't call her. I went to see her the next morning after I completed all my classes. I don't know if that answers your questions, Mr. Wade.
Also, Mr. Chair, in soccer, when a coach gets a red card, it's not like the players. Players have to automatically sit. For a coach's ejection, it's just like any other team sport. They got to make sure that they've taken CCP in a time before the year started. If they have not, then that's an automatic sit the next game. But a red card in soccer is not for a coach, it's not an automatic sit.
Okay. All right. Anything else?
Yes.
Coach Cox, your last words here.
Yes, sir. With Mr. Beasley saying that, and then with the information that we got from the official, from the linesman, and that with Mr. Tones as well, we hadn't anticipated a red card to be reported. Ms. Lewis said she didn't hear anything. Mr. Tones stayed at the game, spoke with the coaches who spoke to the linesman. They said that a red card, but it wouldn't be reported as an ejection. And so we moved on game by game, just going through coaching the season and continuing as on as if it wouldn't be reported. And it came completely by surprise on March the 14th.
Okay.
Coach, did you happen to have that official at any more games?
No, sir. No, sir. I did have him at a game 3 weeks prior to that. 3 weeks prior to that, I did.
Were there any issues during that game?
I found out later that there was. There was an incident with the center ref. Not an incident, just something where the center ref, I think maybe he missed a call. And when the ball went out of bounds, I asked the center ref, his name was Melvin Rivas, whatever it was, and he moved on. He explained it to me. There was no problems. He said, no problem, coach, just communicate me if you need to. And this particular center ref involved with this incident was the linesman on my side. And so what my assistant coach later told me was he told the center ref to give me a yellow card for saying anything. And so when I asked my assistant coach, I said, well, how come you didn't tell me that before that? And he said, we just moved on with the game and I completely forgot it. And so I believe that, and I have that game as well too. I do believe that with believing what my assistant coach told me, with that being accurate, I believe that for some reason or another, some of that stemmed over into this game. And to be honest, I don't know why, but had I known that, I would have prevented that and just asked for a different official. And how do I scratch officials?
So during that game that your assistant coach was told that, did you and this official have any incidents?
Not that I knew of, because if we did, I wouldn't have. I want to keep the safest environment for our kids to avoid any type of confrontation. Had I known that, I surely would not have asked for this ref for our game.
All right. Anything else from anybody? Coach Cox, you've done a good job representing yourself. Mr. Tones, thank you for being here also. Mr. Molig, Ms. Lewis. Our job, I think it was very well spoken by Mr. Colbert earlier, is not to worry too much about how well the game was officiated, although we want to see them well officiated. But our job is to make a determination as to whether the ejection was warranted. My comments on this are simple. We don't have great detail, although we did get the video and that was helpful. The one thing that spoke to me very simply is that before the yellow card, before the red card, the coach was warned to be quiet and he chose not to. Any other comments? All right, with that having been said, yes, sir, Coach. Coach Cox?
Yes, sir, I had to unmute myself. Mr. Motherall, if you look at the video, I can promise you I gave my testing. I was quiet the entire game, even through the violent calls. I was quiet, and I really was worried about the safety of our kids because if I had to speak up, if someone's going to be allowed to keep fouling kids, and if you see some of the fouls, he just ran straight to the back of the kid, and he didn't receive any warning. I was quiet the entire game. That was the only time, and it wasn't disrespectful. I just try and give my best, like from my heart, to protect those kids as if they were my own. And the safety of it, that's the only reason I spoke out, and it wasn't in disrespect with my experience that I have.
All right. Coach, nothing but the best to you, okay? Good luck. Whatever happens here.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right. Time to make a decision to either grant the appeal and overturn the ejection or to deny the appeal. All in favor of granting the appeal, please raise your right hand. All in favor of denying. It is unanimous. Coach, good luck. Appreciate it. If you have any further questions, you can contact Mr. Wade. All right?
Yes, sir.
Let's see now, Mr. Beasley.
Make sure they could contact Mr. Beasley.
Yeah, one Darrell or the other. I apologize for that. Mr. Beasley, it's our understanding that there will have to be some training take place.
Yes, two courses for National Federation, which is the Teaching and Modeling Behavior and Fundamentals of Coaching, and then the 1 year probation.
Okay. No ejection needed? No sitting out of game needed?
No, not at all.
All right. Very good. Thank you. We're going to move forward. Hearing BB, Burleson High School, Section 1208I1, ejection from a contest. Aaron Pointer, and we will repeat that here momentarily when they get on yes. board.
Just one moment, and we will move forward. Okay, we have our representatives here. If they will unmute themselves and turn on their videos, then we will be able to see them.
Just one second. I'm so sorry.
It's okay.
How did I do that? Sorry.
Okay, there we go. Sorry about that.
All right. Is that everyone, Caroline?
Yeah.
Okay. We would ask the two of you to please raise your right hand, and Caroline's going to swear you in, and the appropriate response will be, I do.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you will present is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
I do.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, we're moving forward with hearing BB, Burleson High School, section 1208I1, ejection from a contest, Aaron Pointer. Mr. Beasley.
I can't hear him.
You're muted.
Sorry about that. Yeah, Coach Aaron Pointer was ejected from a varsity soccer game on March 9th, 2020 at Granbury High School. Coach Pointer is appealing the ejection.
All right. Let's talk a little bit about how this is going to work. We've got some facts that you have provided for us. We're going to verify those facts and may have some questions for you. You'll have time to elaborate a little bit on some things. And when that's all done, there'll be other questions coming from people. And when that's all accomplished, then we'll make a decision to either grant or deny the appeal based on what we've heard. Okay? All right. Coach Pointer, before we get into what you had to provide us, and by the way, you did a really nice job of providing information for us, and we appreciate that. Let's talk a little bit about what the official had to say, okay? And then that will give you an opportunity as we talk about other things to be able to react to that. He said that, and this was at the end of the game, Coach rushed to the field after game and made comment on the last play of the on the field and said, you have no idea what you are doing. You don't know the rules. And she said it with unacceptable body language. I'm going to stop that right there and ask you, is that an accurate statement?
No, sir, it is not.
So your statement is that after the game, you went out on the field, as is a normal situation, to talk to your kids. Your captain was already speaking to the official, and you went on and told her then, hey, I've got this. And that's when y'all had a discussion. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. But I didn't speak to that official initially. It was the AR, just to clarify. But yes, we were going into PK, so.
Okay. And so this official at that point says he displayed a yellow card. After that, she started clapping her hands right in front of my face. Coach Pointer?
Also not inaccurate. No.
And I sent her off for her behavior. After the red card, did you make the statement you'll never be able to officiate another one of my games?
Yes, that I did say at that point. I'll tell you about it, but I was frustrated.
Okay. All right. That's kind of what we got from the official. Now, what we received from you were a lot of accusations of abuse, misconduct, gender discrimination. You indicated that the official was abrupt before the game, didn't come to your sideline, which they should be doing, obviously. Did go to the other sideline, I believe. Let's see. There was the issue with the was it vest, pennies?
Yes, sir.
And he came over and said, hey, you got to all get yours on. And you replied that that was not mandatory. And is that correct?
That took place over a couple different exchanges, yes, but
you told him you would comply.
Yes, sir, multiple times.
Okay. And he said, don't challenge any of my calls.
Yes, he did threaten for me not to question or challenge any of his calls the rest of the night.
Okay. All right. And then at the end of the game, and there's some things you'll fill in, I'm sure, but as you walked out, we've already discussed that piece. And you accused him of on the whistle aspect of things, on whether or not you got your kickoff or not, whether you had to wait for a second whistle.
That was what I was asking for clarification, yes.
I'm sorry?
Yes, that's what we were asking for clarification on the ruling interpretation, because we were confused.
And who was accurate?
I don't know. I'd never got a response to it, and I just wanted his perspective because we were at that point heading into playoffs. So if I am incorrect on the quick restart and being able to do that, that's something that we need to correct in practice, because that's okay. A tactical situation we lost out on.
And you were concerned because some of the girls from the opposing team were standing in front of the free kick for a little while, and then they moved them back about 5 yards. Is that correct?
Partially. When we set the ball down, our kicker set the ball down, and there was immediately a player in front of her, and that's supposed to be an automatic caution, which it is what it is. We just wanted to kick the ball. And then there were still players behind her that he pushed her back to that were still not 10 full yards. But my main question was, were we allowed to just kick without a second whistle or not? And that's just what I need clarification on.
And that's the point at which he was mocking you, you indicated. Why do we need to explain the rules if you know them so well, correct?
Yeah, correct.
And your response was, sir, I'm just asking for clarification. And his response again, but you know all the rules.
Yep.
Officials were laughing with each other, speaking in another language, I believe, yes. Turkish, is what you indicated. And your response was, thank you for acknowledging that I know the rules. So if I know we didn't have to wait for the second whistle, you know we didn't have to wait, and we should have been able to take that kick. Was that the response?
That was my comment in response to him after I had already walked off, and he had made another comment after I'd walked off, and I just turned around and said, you know what, thank you for acknowledging that I do know the rules.
Okay. Mr. Ozy, I'm assuming that's how you pronounce that.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Your role?
I'm the athletic director for Burleson ISD.
Okay, and you're here because? You have something to say, I guess, is what I'm asking. I'm sorry, that was kind of a vague question. Do you have something to add?
I have nothing. I was hired on March 3rd.
Oh,
so okay. This happened right around the same time I was hired, and then, of course, we shut down the next week. So just here to support our coach.
Have you spoken with the coach about the issue?
Yes, same story, same as what she turned into you guys.
And what was your response to her?
That we will wait and see what the UIL. What the appeal turns out to be.
Okay.
Before we administer it. If there is anything else that needs to be administered from a local level.
Okay. All right. Before we let Coach Pointer talk a little bit more about some of the issues, does anyone else have questions or comments at this point in time? All right, Coach Pointer, we've got the highlights. We've gone through some of the things, and you've made your case, or at least you've confirmed the things that you had told us in writing. What else would you say to us today?
Well, I've been a head coach for over a decade. I have, as a player and a coach, never received any type of caution or disciplinary action during a game. This was my first card, and I am still shaken up by this game. It really does bother me that the manner that this official conducted himself was just kind of out of line. And, you know, we typically have a really good relationship with officials. We should be able to communicate and ask for calls, because I know that my perspective on the field is different than theirs. It's different from the angle that we have on camera. There was no harm in asking just for clarification. Because that ruling, even when I read through it now, I'm still a little confused on, it seems to say two different things. I just wanted to know what their perspective was. Because if I told my kids the wrong thing, then that's something I have to work on and take back to the drawing table. And if we were right, then we just need to know how to maybe move faster next time or set up differently. You know, it is what it is. It wasn't going to change the outcome of the game. I knew there wasn't going to be time put back on the board. was just asking for clarification, and these two grown men and literally sat there and mocked me, and it was, I had had enough at that point. There was enough transpiring during the game, and just, I couldn't take anymore. I didn't deserve to be treated like that as a professional, and I certainly wasn't reciprocating it. You know, I'm a human being too, so it happens.
Did you deserve any card that you received in your mind?
At worst, the yellow. You know, I would understand maybe if he didn't provoke it, me turning around and responding to him, yes. And then I definitely should have gotten a yellow at the end for what I said like that. But I'd already gotten ejected at that point, so I was just done with it. And there was nothing – I felt powerless. So that definitely should have been I deserve to take responsibility for that one. So it was my choice to make an additional comment. I could have just grabbed my stuff and walked off.
Okay. Yes, Mr. Martell.
And maybe we need to talk to someone from the Officials Association, but I do think that Coach has a point. If anyone else is witnessing speaking in a different language out there and not communicating with them, mocking and those kind of things, and I think Coach OZ would have something that he could probably go and make sure that those things are not happening, or maybe their intention was different or whatever, for Coach Poynter's sake. But, you know, her documentation was great. I want to comment on that because, you know, each thing that was in everything that I read, she kind of followed up. She pretty well knows her soccer rules. She probably trained a bunch of people on this call. But, you know, there are some parts of it that we don't get to see and understand. And I know we're not going to rule on those things, but I do think that they need to be checked by Coach OZ and the Officials Association, and make sure that the officials or the association and the coaches understand those things.
Mr. Galvan?
I just thought there that the reason why I asked before the meeting is whether or not we'd have that, because I did see that as an issue myself, and felt like that needs to be addressed with the Tarrant County Officials Association in soccer. You know, we don't need that. And also, I think that with the documentation that Coach Poynter sent in, it's very, very well done. I think a lot of times, too, that possibly the problem with the coach and the official is that with them not knowing a whole lot sometimes of the game, and the coaches know more about it, sometimes rubs them raw about, you know, you're not doing this, you should be doing this, you should be that. And I don't think that time is necessary during the time of a game. So we have to hold off a little bit, I think, as a coach, until you have the proper opportunity to do that, either with the Officials Association or through your athletic director, to make sure that sort of thing doesn't happen and she gets red carded. Because as we all know, that officials, associations in a lot of areas need a lot of officials, and a lot of them are doing it that are not really up to date on the game itself. But I think that's something that needs to be addressed with the TASO, that there needs to be an investigation with the chapter association of Tarrant County, whether or not this is happening not only in this particular game with Coach Poynter, but whether or not that type of situation has happened with their assignments in other schools. If it is, it needs to be addressed by TASO with the association, and also followed up by the athletic director, Kevin.
Thank you, Mr. Galvan. Other comments at this time?
May I address,
please,
Mr. Galvan? Thank you. Good to see you. I just got back into education after 2.5 years of being out, and prior to getting out of education, I was the athletic director at Arlington ISD, and I know we faced a lot of issues, specifically in soccer. I think there's a shortage of officials, which we know, but the communication between coaches and officials, and sometimes it was a language barrier, and I don't think that has improved. If anything, it's probably gotten worse. Again, I'm when this incident happened, I'm brand new coming back into it, but I can see, thinking back to those days, there were a lot of issues.
Yes, Mr. Galvan.
I think, Kevin, that knowing that, and I'm trying to explain that to y'all as far as the shortage of officials and knowledge too, and like Ms. Pointer, she, well, her documentation knows everything and knows pretty well about the rules and how to do it, plus being a player and everything else. And sometimes we don't get that across the board in a lot of our sports because of the shortage of officiating. But there's a way that needs to be happening when there's an issue like that, needs to be given to you as the athletic director for an association. And then you portray that particular part by saying what's going on and so forth, this nature. And then that way from administration, it holds a little bit more with the association than it does from a coach raising cane, because they're saying, oh, that's all they do is complain. But if it comes through you as an administrator, you will be able to handle that for your school district. Good to see you. Thank you.
I have a really long established relationship with our TASO assigners, and we do typically get the same officials in the same areas. Like when I was with Fort Worth ISD, I had the same repeat officials, and now with Burleson, we typically get the same ones. I did speak to our TASO assigner, and he will answer questions post-game, things like that. I didn't drag him into it because there was an ejection, but he's always willing to look at film for me or any other coach if we have questions or to get like ruling clarification, you know, and they TASO sends out stuff on how to communicate between coaches. So, you know, that's something that whenever they sent that stuff out and specifically words that we can use, that was something that 2-3 years ago, I decided that, you know, when you're asking a ref a question, you don't want them to feel inferior that you're upset about it. It's just, hey, just what was the call? I didn't see it. Because there's not a hand signal for everything, you know, and especially when there's quite a few people crammed together and they call a foul and we don't see it, you know, it's just for us to be able to explain it to our kids, like, hey, next time don't go in this way, or, you know, you obstructed or whatever the situation is. But I do find that sometimes it's hard to communicate with them. This year that was new, that they were using the earpieces later on in the season. But we had 2 or 3 incidences where this was an issue, where they were communicating with each other on the field and it disrupted play, like, because my kids couldn't figure out if they were talking to them or to each other. One of them, they were talking about Wendy's at some point. So those are things that we're able to directly pass on to our assigners. You know, they do keep that line of communication open.
All right, thank you. Caroline, we do have Mr. Fitch back in the what we call holding room.
Yes.
Is that what it is? Mm-hmm. Why don't you see if he wants to, why don't you bring him in? Okay. We've mentioned the need to talk with TASO.
Thank you.
Mr. Fitch, we need you to be sworn in before anything else, okay? So Caroline is going to swear you in. Mr. Fitch.
Good evening. First,
let's get you sworn in, okay?
Yes, sir.
You solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you will present is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
All righty. Mr. Fitch,
you have this confusion. The video and the audio, there's about a 7-second difference, so I'm trying to keep up. Secondly, let me apologize for my casual wear. I did not know I was going to be invited to this meeting today. She did.
Swear or affirm that the testimony you will present is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
You can mute the video, the audio on the playback, on the YouTube video.
Secondly, let me apologize for my casual wear. I did not know I was going to be invited to this meeting. She did.
All right. Mr. Fitch, let's do one thing. Just want to get So because you've got the delay, if we can't get that turned off where it's not a problem, we would ask that you react to what you've heard, please.
Well, thank you for the opportunity. And this is, yesterday was the first time I had notice of this, so I did not have a lot of opportunity to really investigate it. There are a few things in the coach's report that do concern me a little bit that we will certainly look into. I certainly expect our officials to treat every coach with respect, and that will be reinforced. And but I will look into it, and if we figure there's some problems there, we will address them.
Thank you, sir. Anybody else? Thank you, Mr. Fitch, for being here.
Thank
Mr.
you.
Mr. Mulder, I just, I have a, excuse me, a comment to make to the coach, because obviously she's been, you know, she's been in the business for a while. But when you have a situation where you have officials that are not following like pregame protocol, that first of all should be a signal to you that you might be dealing with someone that's not as familiar with the game or the rules as they should be. And so that should be in your mind as you progress through the game. And so through this whole process, I'll just say, contact the association, let them know your concerns, go through your athletic director, because that way you'll have a voice. Once this goes, this process process goes through, you want to make sure that other people don't have to deal with the same thing that you dealt with in this game. And one other piece of advice I will give you, when you say you're standing up for yourself, I know you're very frustrated. It was very evident in the video that we watched. But sometimes when you stand up for yourself, you have to walk away because you cannot continue the conversation with someone who does not want to have that conversation with you. So my advice to you, once again, contact the association, be heard, list the things that, like you did in the information to us. It was very well done. And then follow up by use yourself as the example and read your officials prior to the game. And like I said, you've been in the business a while, so you should be able to do that pretty effectively. And if you know the conversation is not going well, turn and walk away. My advice. Thank you.
Some very good advice there for sure. All right. Yes, Dr. Duran.
I'm just curious. I mean, there were some things that were of concern to me in Dr. Pointer's communication to us and perspective of what happened. And certainly the different treatment between the coaches. I'm just curious, what is a coach's response? I understand, you know, what we are here for, but is there an opportunity for a coach to file a complaint after the fact based on versus it being coming out in this setting? Could there have been a complaint filed early on about some of the treatment that occurred? And if so, did that happen, right after that event occurred?
I think what we just heard from Ms. Denson probably covers that aspect of things to the point where if you get into a situation like that, you have avenues to approach the officials to make those things known. And also, coaches associations are known to be helpful in those situations as well as your athletic director. Is any other response to Dr. Duran's question? Ms. Denson, do you have anything you want to add to that? You were the one that was speaking along those lines.
Yes, there is a method through the UIL, actually, that you can file that complaint, and through Mr. Fitch also. And obviously, Coach has a good relationship, as she said, with the assigner for the soccer association. And so with that, to file a written complaint, if you feel like you're being disrespected as a coach, as a gender, just file the complaint. And make sure that you go through your administration so everybody knows what's going on in this process, because she may not be the only one, as you said, and to make sure that the association has an opportunity to address the individuals and the accusations, the allegations here. But yes, immediately following the game, she has that opportunity to go in and file a complaint concerning those officials.
Thank you.
Yes,
Mr. Galvan.
In the documentation, if I'm not mistaken, didn't Ms. Pointer, didn't you contact somebody by the name of O'Brien?
Yes.
After the game? Now, who yes. is he? Who is he?
He is our TASO assigner, and I did contact him about the officiating, their behavior, and then I didn't take it any further because there was a card involved, but I did report their behavior leading, that it led to, you know, an ejection, and in my opinion, that I don't feel would have happened in any other game if those...
Okay.
If that behavior didn't take place to begin with.
Okay. Now, what? Let me ask Mr. Fitch this. What is the responsibility of your signer in an association once they get the information? Are they to contact you?
As far as a complaint?
Well, as far as what she just got through saying, that was a question that came by. Ms. Denson said you notified the signer or whoever it is, and she, in my documentation, she contacted someone from TASO who is the assigner in that association. Do they in turn contact the state level that has been a complaint concerning that those officials in that association?
No, sir, typically that's left up to the individual chapter. The only time that TASO would get involved is if it was extraordinary circumstances or if it involved a chapter officer. Mr. O'Brien is the assigner. He's the one that has a relationship with the coaches. And that would be the appropriate avenue. Coach Pointer did do the right thing there.
Okay. Did you hear any feedback from O'Brien after that, Ms. Pointer?
I did. He said that they were, I forget what he said specifically, but they were going to, you know, look into it. And then we shut down for COVID, and I didn't get him a chance to send him my film. And with all the UIL stuff, I didn't really know. I didn't want to drag him into it because I know that they need to be stay neutral pretty much. But I will send them everything afterwards and have them look at it. Cause I just didn't know what to do with the situation in general. We'll put it that way. What okay. would make it better well, or worse.
That's the reason why I asked earlier in our meeting about this, because, you know, this whole situation occurs as far as officiating and coaches that do the right thing. And if you notified the TASO immediately, out of your association, and even though the state doesn't get involved in it, there should have been some type of feedback from that association, either to you or to your athletic director. And I think that's where we've got some breakdown in communication between TASO and the chapters, is there's no communication when you have a situation that happens when you get a report from a coach. And I know Mr. Fish said he just got it yesterday, this, you know, and that's a long time since March. So I'm just thinking that there's got to be some type of communication at all levels and not just continue saying that it's the coach's fault because they get ejected, okay? So that's just the reason why I feel like Mr. Fitch needs to know about that. And I feel like that the association, coming from Mr. OZ, needs to hear something strongly from him concerning that particular situation, especially with the way the officials, absorb that time by laughing and mocking you and stuff of this nature. And I think that's something that needs to be investigated from the state level and also from Mr. OZ.
Thank you, Mr. Galvan. And I would assume that the decision as to whether something moves to the state level is maybe a tough decision at times. And it's a good point, Mr. Fitch. I'm sure you'll look into this particular situation and others that are similar. Yes, sir.
I was going to say, this situation just got elevated to the state level.
There you go. Thank you. Yes, Mr.
Yes,
Mr. Martell.
Yes, Mr. Chair. I just want to make sure that coach understands something. And I know with Kevin just moving into that position, Coach OZ, there was a perfect storm there. But everything that happened should be in writing, Coach. And I mean, you can send emails, you can send requests, you can send all that, so that it really helps us when we get in here and we have to make decisions. We can see where people made a concerted effort to try to solve some of the problems. And I think at times we are, everybody feels like we're going to take one side or the other, but that's not the issue here. Mr. Galvan said, I think that there were some things in here that really concern us for you. that could have been occurring there. And I had another question. Was the coach on the other side, were they male or female?
He was male.
Okay. All right. So every time that you communicated, even during COVID, you could have kept the process going. Maybe not knowing that, as Ms. Denson said, but you have every opportunity and every right to follow up on that. But I would have done it in writing. And it is kind of sad that Mr. Fitch is just getting this information now, because if you didn't get some information that you wanted in the weeks following that, you could have continued to push that forward. And maybe this part of this particular hearing would have been a lot easier for us to handle.
Yes, sir.
All right. I think we've probably heard enough from everyone at this point in time. Good questions, good presentation, Coach Pointer. Mr. Ozzie, thank you for being here to support. Mr. Fitch, thank you. It's time to make a decision. And, you know, we don't often overturn these kinds of things, ejections. And, Coach, I'll just say this one last thing to you. You heard some really sage advice earlier about being able to walk away. You probably could have avoided this whole thing. You admitted yourself that you probably deserved a yellow card. If you'd have been able to walk away, might have been a better situation. That's not to minimize, though, what we've heard about what happened during that game and some of the things that were inappropriately done. So, again, thank you. And Coach, no matter what happens here, we wish you nothing but a very good career and continued success in the world of soccer. All right?
Yes, sir. Thank you for your time.
You bet. It's time to make a decision here to either grant the appeal and overturn the ejection or to deny it and uphold the ejection and assess some other penalties. All in favor of granting the appeal, please raise your right hand. All right, here we go. We've got Mr. Galvan, Mr. Dover, Mr. Colbert. All right. All in opposition to granting the appeal. Raise your right hand.
And Marshall Scott.
You missed me.
Oh, I miss. Where are you, Marshall? Oh, your picture's a little bitty skinny thing. I missed you. I apologize for that. And Marshall Scott, apologize. All in favor of denying the appeal, please raise your right hand. That would be myself, Ms. Denson, Mr. Martell, Mr. Wade, Dr. Teal, Dr. Duran, Ms. Vogel. All right, so what is that, seven? All right, it's been denied. Understand, we understand what you had to say today, and we appreciate you. Move forward, okay? Daryl, you will be contacting her. Mr. Beasley?
Yes, I will be contacting her by email.
Okay, about what you need to do. Mr. Ozzie, you'll make sure that she gets that all accomplished.
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you very much. Appreciate it. With that having been said, we're going to end hearing BB at this time. We move to new business. Do we have any? Do we have any? Do we have any announcements that need to be made?
We do have the three precedent manual drafts that I sent to you yesterday, and we would need to vote on whether or not to accept those to the precedent manual.
It's a good point, and let's talk about those, because what we did after a kind of a rework of things, what was it, 2 or 3 years ago now, that we determined that for consistency's purpose, it would be good for us to have a precedence manual that showed under these circumstances, this is the decision that was reached. And it's been very helpful for us. We've had the opportunity to look back, and after the end of every meeting, we take a look to see if there's anything that occurred during that meeting that might benefit us in the future. We had three precedents. Personally, I think they're all three worthwhile. Anybody else want to comment on any of those? Weren't there three? Yeah. Anybody comment on those? I would accept a motion to approve those for our president's manual if somebody feels led to. Mr. Dover, do I hear a second? All right. Dr. Duran, any comment or question? All in favor, please raise your right hand. That is unanimous. Thank you. Announcements, none?
I don't have any. Jamie, do you?
I want to say thanks to the staff, as always, for a job well done. We look forward to this coming year. We would like to think that in the... Did y'all get that?
Jamie, you got to unmute yourself.
There you go. You were unmuted for just a second, Jamie. There you go. Anything to say? Jamie, we missed y'all today. There you are.
I don't know what's going on. I got nothing.
Okay, we just had announcements and just thought if you had anything to say, we'd let you do that.
No, sir. Thank you guys for your service.
All right, thank you. Hey, listen, great job, folks. Today you got a little bit of, for those new, got a little bit of a feel. The changing skills for athletic purposes are a little bit different, but did a good job today. Appreciate the freedom that you feel like you have to vote your conscience. And we will look forward to seeing you down the road. UIL, thank you for everything, and you've got tough decisions to make, more to make, I'm sure. You'll do it right, I have no doubt. With that having been said, we are adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.